Welcome to the Expert Ownership Podcast, where we launch faith-filled entrepreneurs into greater freedom and success. But you know what? It's more than that. We want to help you thrive in the midst of today's cancel culture. Our goal is to raise up workplace warriors who will stand for what they believe in, whatever the cost. You can find out more by visiting expertownership.com. But without further ado, here we go. I've been really, really feeling it. Got to bust a move, wash out, let me get it. If you really, really feeling it, put it in your left hand, right hand, throw it up and hit it. All right, welcome back. This is David. I'm the one that's loud, and I come out first because Jason's always afraid. Jason's here with me, and it's pretty awesome because we have Eric Beck, our CEO and master coach at Expert Ownership. It's pretty awesome when he comes in town because then we're like, okay, let's sit down and let's talk about some killer stuff for people that really need help in the marketplace. So today we're going to be talking about financial basics for entrepreneurs.
What we're not going to talk about is how Eric and I are sitting so close together that our kneecaps might be touching. So maybe we just don't mention that.
No, but here's the listen, when we think about financial basics for entrepreneurs, we're not talking about like developing a 60-page white paper that's going to go and get some angel investment. We're not talking about any of that right now. We're talking like simple, easy basics for entrepreneurs that you have to know so that you can be successful. And I want to boil it all down into three simple basics, and this is where your budget is. Number three words,
the most important words: make more money.
Okay,
was that what you were gonna say?
No. Oh, but let me do that again. All right, let me do that all over again, because I was actually thinking I could do this in a short 60-second spot, but you then interrupted it. So let me let me try and do it in 30 seconds.
That's YouTube gold, what I just did.
It's not gold, it's YouTube, trust me, gold. It was stupid. You want to establish three budgets. Number one, a livable budget, a comfortable budget, and an incredible budget. That's it right there. Livable is what do you need? Comfortable is what do you want? And incredible is what would you love? If you understand your livable budget, then it's bare bones. This is what I need. Now, we are going to, in the financial basics for entrepreneurs, we're going to break down livable into obligations and necessities and other things. But then you have your comfortable budget, and that's what you want. That's like, okay, now I can... my business is doing a little bit better. I can go on a little bit better date nights. But then the incredible budget, and that's where we're really going to give you a bit of a paradigm shift when we get to the end of this. That is, now I can afford to do things I've always wanted to do. But for us at Expert Ownership, it's now I can afford to take my active income and turn it into passive income so that I will never, ever, ever, ever need a job again. Okay, boom. There you have it. So now we're going to talk about financial necessities for all entrepreneurs. Eric, I know you've taught on this a lot,
but it reminds me of the song. You know what was the cartoon? The Bare Necessities,
the simple bare necessities.
Okay, who was that?
Smokey Baloo. It's Baloo in Jungle Book.
Jungle Book.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh, the bare necessities.
Sam is Eric, so confused.
having worked with thousands of companies, even including some Fortune 100s. We're talking to entrepreneurs, and we're given just the basics. So let's just dive into this, knowing our three budgets and how we're going to get down into, especially on the livable side of things, breaking into necessities and obligations. And
yeah, well, I mean, we're just going to break the back of mammon, like right now.
Boom. Wait, mammon would be serving money, yeah. and the world's way of money. It's greed, it's covetousness, it's idolatry, it's all of that. Slaving after money because money is your source. Oh, that's it. At Expert Ownership, God is our source. Money is simply a resource.
That's it. And, you know, even money itself, I just want to say, is not... nothing is neutral, but money is not bad in and of itself. And the reason that it's not bad is because it is a tool, right, on the one hand. But the other thing is that all those other things you mentioned about greed and all that stuff, that's really about not answering one simple question, which is how much is enough?
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Yeah. Was it Rockefeller when asked how much was enough? Just one more dollar.
That's mammon. That's the spirit of mammon.
That's slaving.
Exactly.
Right. So if right up front, entrepreneurs don't answer the question, how much is enough? They have a real problem on their hands. You're never going to experience fulfillment in the business that God's called you to.
Which is why the three budgets are so important, because now you're quantifying. Now, of course, you got to take into consideration inflation.
right?
We got to take into consideration that. So you're going to adjust your budgets, but at least you're going to quantify it.
That's right. So And for some of you are hearing this, you're thinking, well, I don't know how much is enough. You know, how would I even determine that? A simple analogy. What happens to people who win the lottery?
They go bankrupt.
They go bankrupt. The divorce rate goes up 500%. The suicide rate triples. All that kind of, like, it's like, wait a minute, what happened? So you got somebody who's working their job and they're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and then they win $20 million and they don't realize that they actually just won $10 million because they're going to lose taxes. Half of it in taxes, right? And then they're going to start just doing crazy stuff, paying off people's mortgages and doing all this kind of stuff, and people think that they owe them and whatnot. The problem is that when we haven't answered the question, how much is enough, and this is in any area of life, but it certainly applies to money, then what happens is that we have an unlimited focus. We start focusing on every possibility because we don't know what we really need. And so what we need is more. And so that, and any kind of slavery, when it talks about, you know, this person is set on fire by the desires of the flesh, like that whole idea. It's this unending, destroying, destructive, disintegrating of their life.
It's perpetual consumption.
Yeah, you're in hell way before you get to hell.
Right.
You know, you see somebody on meth, they're in hell now.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So their life is ripping apart, right? So, okay, so here we go into business and we're like, okay, we're going to make money. We're going to provide a service and all that good stuff. And then we say, okay, well, how much is enough is not even an important question. It's how do I sell stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But the really important spiritual question is to ask how much is enough? And then this is a way to do it. I need to define my obligations, and these are the things that the business would absolutely halt if I wasn't paying for this. So these are tend to be contractual obligations. So lease, you know, maybe payrolls, things like that. And then you want to look at a second category, which is your necessities. Now, these are things you really need to do the business, but you could probably still do the business without it.
Coffee.
Got to get that cup of Joe.
That's right.
Right. So this might be some types of automation or software or things where it really does make the business a lot more efficient, but I wouldn't absolutely have to have it.
Like the business doesn't halt without it, but it really is hindered.
Exactly. Then our third category is wants. And these, I define these, and this is in our module on expert ownership. We're really combining two modules, closed circle strategy and financial radar, in this conversation. And so this idea of wants isn't just like, well, what I want. I define it as like an unconfirmed necessity. Like it could be really great for our business if we had this.
Yes.
I don't know if it is, but it could be. And so what I want to do is then I want to take the money. I want to say, okay, if a dollar comes in today, it's like a fountain. You guys talk about a fountain. Be a fountain, not a drain.
That's right.
Right. So the water comes in, right? And if you think of a three-tiered fountain, right? The spouts at the top.
Like the kind in a garden or something.
Exactly right. Yeah, okay. Exactly right. So it fills up that first, I don't know what that's called, bucket.
Bowl.
Thing, bowl, right? It fills it up and then it spills over.
Yep.
Okay, so that first one is your absolute obligations. If I don't have any money after my obligations are met, I don't have any money.
Yeah,
that's it.
True.
It all goes up.
Can't even pay your necessities.
Exactly right. So then I've got enough money to pay my obligations. Now, this is what you guys teach so well. Well, don't start expanding your obligations. Like keep them narrow.
Stay small.
And then it will fill up the second one. And then it will fill up the third one. And now it's going to fill, that third one's going to be categories. Mm. And so this might be your tithe. It could be charity. It could be savings. It could be investments.
Yeah.
Those are going to be percentages.
Your estimated tax account.
Exactly. So now what you have is you have this situation where there's never an unspent dollar.
Yeah.
So if you gave this person, okay, because they've answered the question, how much is enough? If you gave this person $100, it's all spent. If you gave them $100 billion, it's all spent. You're like, well, wait a minute. Well, obligations, necessities, wants, but wants are percentages.
Yeah, they're all percentages.
So you have no unspent money. And this is the spirit of mammon. The door that mammon walks in is, I don't have any account. I have money that's not accounted for. And the same thing is true with time. Like when we do anchor activities, it's like, I don't have my time accounted for. So you look at people and you say, when do you get in the most arguments or when are the most frustrating times with your family? Well, it's on the weekends. Why? Well, because we have all this free time. And then everybody has a different vision of how that time's going to get spent, right?
Yes.
And now you have this contention. It's because we have essentially unspent time. So the idea is to pre-spend all of our money.
Yeah.
Right? So there's never, I'm never getting in that, it's almost like a volatile potential. It's like handling the dangerous, volatile. It's like if I bring that money in and it's not pre-spent, if I haven't answered the question of how much is enough, then I'm going to be in trouble.
And answering that question and asking it, you know, how much is enough, the one thing that it's going to cause you to do is what it caused me and David to do, was to define our wants. So obviously you want to stay as tight as possible on your obligations and your necessities.
Yep.
You want to have as much left over for your wants, but then you need to define your wants. So what David and I did right at the beginning was we defined our want. What we wanted more than anything was to use our leftover money to buy us time.
That's right. Because we valued quality of life over standard of living.
That's right. So if you value standard of living, then you can increase your standard of living through the money that you've got left over in your want category. Yeah. Or if you value quality of time the most, then what you'll do is you'll take active income that's left over in this new category, and you know, after your obligations and your necessities, you'll use that active income and you'll convert it into passive income that you can then even invest that so that it will make passive income so that you can actually be free and you'll buy your time back. So for David and I, exactly what you're saying, Eric, of course, we didn't know it like what you just taught it. Mm-hmm. I wish that we would have known it, because that's a more simple way of understanding obligations, then necessities, and then your wants. But the one thing that we did know is after we paid ourselves, which is very low salary, every single dime after tithe, and you know what we had to pay for taxes, was going to buy real estate and buy other businesses. So for David and I, for you know, a decade, we lived really, 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 really low, because all that money had already been spent.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And how did it, I'm going to just ask you guys, obviously you're wanting it to grow and you're wanting to get to a place that you're not yet at, but at the end of the day, I did think there was a lot more peace.
Oh my goodness.
In doing it that way.
Right. Can I give you an example of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So David and I, we're this 2008, I think 2009, we're franchising our business. We ultimately grew in 3 years. By the time 2010, we grew to 100 locations. And it was 35 or 6 states or something. But we were about 50 locations in, and I got a phone call from a guy who said, hey, I want to buy up the territories of Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. And we're like, wow, that's going to cost you. He's like, no worries, I'll send you my application. So he sent an application, had like $10 million liquid cash or net worth or whatever. And so he came in, he struck me a check. I forget what the check, it was big. It was a monster check. He was driving this really nice car and all of this kind of stuff. And he wrote this check. And I remember getting into my car with a little bit of an embarrassment. Like, I'm in getting into a 2005 Nissan Altima with like almost 200,000 miles or however much it was. But that embarrassment instantly went away, because I thought, you know what I'm going to do with this money?
Yeah.
This money represents 2 more investment houses that are going to make me, what, David?
$2,500
a month. Right here, and I'm going to own the asset and it's going to appreciate. And this just overwhelming feeling of, I don't care.
I'm on mission.
What car I'm driving now or what he thinks about that car.
Yes.
I just took the homeboy's money and we're getting ourselves some real estate.
Because we categorized our wants. And here's what we have to understand. When you do categorize your wants and you have a portion of your income, your active income that's left over, that you then allocate to, I am going to invest it. We invested in real estate. You can invest in stocks and trading, online business, whatever. You know, if you go to Life Surge and you listen
now
to
now, it's a great time for crypto.
Yeah.
Since it's crypto in the bottom.
But anyway, so what we did was when you actually do that, slowly but surely, your passive income now is going to cover the obligation of your salary, your livable salary. Mm-hmm. Then your comfortable salary. And what you find is over a 10, 12, 15 year period, if you stay faithful, if you stay disciplined, now your passive income is kicking off enough income for you not to even need the job or the business anymore. Now we stay in it because business is mission and we want to stay in it. We're good at it. We're entrepreneurs and this is who we're talking
to. This is our ministry.
This is right. But what it does, that piece, now Eric, there is nothing like that piece. And then what you find is that you now are buying the nice car that big franchisor or franchisee that paid us all that money. Instead of me paying for that money out of the wants bucket from my active income, I actually bought a nicer vehicle from my passive river
yes.
that was flowing. And even after I bought it, with it not very long after, it's completely replenished.
Yeah, well, you know, and I don't know that guy, but my guess is that he bought pressure. I don't know if he was driving an Aston Martin or a Ferrari
yeah,
or
whatever. It was nice.
Whatever, but, you know, when you buy something, you know, it's what they call those people Henrys, high earners, not rich yet. So it's a lot of money in and a lot of money out.
Yeah.
Because there's the question of how much is enough has not been defined.
Yeah.
And when we don't define that, then it becomes our God.
Yeah.
Like that's the spiritual breach there. And I think what's important for everybody as you're thinking about your business is to go, well, you know, I don't know what my obligations are. Mm-hmm. I just say, look, it's the contractual things that without it, your business could not operate at all. Your necessities are the things that make your business more efficient. They're the things that you absolutely know make you even better. And besides that, that's the circle. Now, here we go. Strategic vision. That's that perfect customer journey. So the question is, how much is enough to accomplish this vision God's given me?
Mm-hmm.
So this business is a $3 million business. That's a mature tree. That, you know, think about the apple tree, right? Yeah. So the seed goes in the ground, the tree grows. Mammon, Pharaoh, the world system, whatever we want to describe it as, wants the apple tree to get as big as possible and then bigger and then bigger and then bigger. I want one more dollar.
To where it's not even natural.
It's
yeah,
just this it's monstrosity, yeah. right? This big cancer. Franken tree, right? Okay, but that's not the way God builds. God is like, no, this apple tree in this soil, in this environment, needs to get to 18 feet, and it's going to produce this many apples. And if you prune it properly, it will run forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that as a model for business.
Yeah, and I saw a young entrepreneur in Charlotte say on his social media, if you're not growing, you're losing, or if you're not growing, you're dying. I'm like, well, hold on a second. I mean, if we apply that in our body, our health, that's cancer.
Yeah, you have giant's disease.
Yeah,
that's deadly. Like,
that's right. What are you talking about if you're not growing, you're dying?
And in your spirit, then you're the person with the hungry eyes. You know, you're the person who's always looking, the person who's always opportunity chasing. You know, it's like there's not a commitment to a vision.
Do you remember the guy who sang Hungry Eyes? Hungry eyes.
Would you stop? I remember that
song. One look Steve at Carman. You and I can't disguise. I got.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay,
Samuel, in post production, will you please put Hungry Eyes into this?
Oh my gosh!
My goodness!
Hungry Eyes.
Okay,
what a great 80s song. Okay. I have to tell you who it is.
Who is it?
Steve Carman.
Steve. I wouldn't have known it. I know the song, but I wouldn't have known it.
Okay, that's artist. Completely irrelevant.
Hey, ahead, I want to talk. I want, but Eric, I want you to give us some parameters on what like percentages. When you, are there percentages for like how we're supposed to spend our wants?
The wants category.
So there can be, they need to be percentages, but you know, we can start off with like, you know, with a tithe at 10% and all that sort of stuff. But retirement, investments, rainy day. I really think that sometimes God will say, hey, this business needs to be this size, but it starts throwing off a lot more money than the business itself actually needs. And that's a good indication that you may be in a growth moment here. Yeah. You know, you may be putting money aside to start the next business.
That's right.
Or to allow yourself to do what we call, in the big businesses, it's M&A, but in the smaller areas, it's sometimes called a roll-up or a consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm running, let's say, like, I don't know, like an auto repair shop, then it's like a little independent auto repair shop. It might be, well, there's 15 or 20 of those in my 50-mile radius.
Yeah.
You know, I could go to 5 or 6 of my competitors and go, hey, I'm going to give you a suite, and you're done. You know, and here's when we do a multiple of EBITDA or however we value the business. And then now all of a sudden I own 7 locations.
Mm.
Sometimes that's really important to know that this business doesn't just need to pay for itself. And that's where we ask God's vision for this business. But then you also need a family strategic vision.
Yes.
You need a larger vision than just the vision for the business, because an entrepreneur may be deployed and his calling is in that particular location for 40 years or 50 years.
Right.
But oftentimes it's like, hey, faithful in the little. Well, don't stay little, because I got a bigger game over here for you.
Yeah. Yep.
And so this also helps us understand how do we fuel the rocket for the next stages.
That's right.
As opposed to that fuel has to go back into this plant or this tree, right? And make it bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like, remember, the blessing that comes to that business is likely not just for that business. It's going to be on behalf of other visions, which could be yours, or it could be that you're funding someone else's vision.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you say, you know, once your company, you might be in a growth moment where it's throwing off a lot of cash and you could do a roll up or a consolidation and open up 7 other locations. I know there are some entrepreneurs that literally would choke at the thought of, oh my gosh, that would create that much more that many more jobs for me? Well, the key is here, this particular module in our coaching course comes after we've systematized your business.
That's right.
We've systematized every single component of your business so that it runs without you. You own the business doesn't own you, and guess what you'll get? You'll get time. And guess what God wants you to do with that time? Multiply it. This is what Jason and I did, where we started building and growing other businesses. People are like, how on earth could you guys do that? We had 100 locations, and yet we were throwing off a tax and accounting company. We were throwing off an outsourcing company. We had other companies we were growing.
We multiplied ourselves into other people. We called them SMEs, subject matter experts. So we wouldn't get into another business unless we had an SME in place that we could then pour into.
And those SMEs were running the systems that we had set up. And that's the beauty of expert ownership as we bring this to a close. You know, we tell you all about, you know, the financial basics of entrepreneurs. And the key is, though, is you have to build systems into your business, and even the financial system of what are the categories? How are you going to quantify your wants, and what is it that you really want to do with your business, and what do you want to do with your income? We have another module. It's called your 6-step path to passive, or you're taking your grip and turning it into a drip. All of these things we talk about at expertownership.com. We've got a community. We have some on-demand courses, which are amazing. We've got a thing called the business assessment, business owner assessment, that is amazing. It's 120 questions. And when you go to expert ownership, you can click, you can get involved in these things, and it can really help your business. But one thing that we're doing that's really special is we're doing this retreat in Vail, Colorado. Mm-hmm. We only have a few spots left. Most of the spots have been flying off. It's been very fun to watch people register. But you're going to get 4 months of coaching with Eric and Jason and I and Richard and our marketing guy, Trey, and others that, and we've got Richard's, I mean, not Richard's wife, but Eric's wife, Rachel, is going to be there. Right. She has been so helpful to our family with our health and nutrition. But we've got in Vail, Colorado, and you're going to get 4 months of coaching in 4 days in the midst of probably one of the most beautiful environments right there at the Ritz-Carlton in Vail. So go to expertownership.com. You will see a pop-up, and it will talk about our Vail retreat. We would love to have you there. Several leaders coming, a lot of business owners. Probably one of my favorite things is just kind of chilling for an hour after lunch and networking, and Jason's dozing off in the corner, but we get to know and meet and greet other expert owners. So listen, we're going to do Own It or Loan It as we wrap this. Eric, we've done this one before, but I have not heard you on this, and I really want to know, Own It or Loan It, custom or luxury watches?
Oh, that's a good question. All my watches are like, you know,
Iron Sunto Man
and Iron Man and Garmin and stuff. So let's see. So, wow. You know, I would say this, you know, I like to invest in things that can be given. Mm-hmm. And I could see investing in a really great watch with the idea of I'm going to give it to my son and he's going to give it to his son. And it's something that stays in the family.
That's a good call.
So if it were really, truly like, it could become a Beck watch or that kind of thing. Yeah. It has something very unique to our family on it. Then I could definitely get down with that. Or if there was an older watch, like from my grandfather or something, that I could have a jeweler make into a modern watch, but it retained, I don't know, part of the face or something like that. So,
okay. So I love it. Of course, you're so generational. I definitely own it because with inflation.
Oh, right.
You're better. As a matter of fact, Rolexes have gone up. Omegas. I mean, some of these amazing watches.
In inflation, assets go up. So buy assets.
That's all of our housing.
A good, healthy watch, especially the kind that most people talk about.
Right.
You know, my daughter Lundy was going to a plastic surgeon, trauma surgeon, and he walks in and he's got the Pepsi Jubilee watch. And I was like, bro, where did you get that? And he's like, oh, my dad handed it down to me. I said, you have any idea how much that's worth right now?
Wow.
He's like, oh, yeah, I know.
That's amazing.
And I mean, that's a $25,000 watch.
And he actually did the surgery with a Jubilee watch on?
Well, they don't do surgery with jewelry on, but for the consultation.
Yeah, if it fell in. And
oh, my gosh.
Like, wait a minute, I have to get that back out.
I've got a Rolex in my face.
But there was a little bit of instant respect there. I'm like, okay.
Okay, I love that. Okay, listeners, thank you so much. Expert owners, we're just honored to even do this podcast. So hopefully some of this will really help you to be filled with your faith and make it practical and demonstrable. Is that the word demonstrable?
Demonstrable. We roll with demonstrable.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. In the marketplace. So rate and review us, subscribe to this, and tell other people about expert ownership if this has blessed you. In the meantime, impact over income. Don't forget that. But if you can do both,
do it.
That's just amazing. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
I've been really, really feeling it. About to bust a move, wash out, let me get it. If you really, really feeling it, put it in your left hand, right hand, throw it up and hit it.